Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
One of the fascinating stories that is out there in the NFL is what's going on with Russell Wilson. And we talked about this some on the show this week. We actually talked about it yesterday on Fox Bet Live. What exactly is going on with the odds markets in terms of Russell Wilson? I can't believe this. Because when this story initially came out, I said there is no way that the Seattle Seahawks are going to let Russell Wilson out of town. He's too good, Hall of Fame quarterback, already won a Super Bowl, but for the Malcolm Butler interception at the goal line, he would have won two. If they'd just given the ball to Lynch, they would have won that game. Instead, they lose, but they've basically been in the playoff every year. They've got DK Metcalf, who is an absolute beast at wide receiver, probably the best young wide receiver in the game. And he reminds me of a young T.O. As long as he keeps his energy focused on the field, he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. And I think you look at the effort that he brings to bear every night, chasing down the Arizona Cardinal defensive back like he did, hawked him in that game. It was such an impressive and improbable athletic feat that the plays that he makes are off the charts. And so if I'm Russell Wilson, as disappointed and frustrated as I might be with my relationship with Pete Carroll and the offensive coaching staff, I don't really want to leave, because for much of the time that I have spent in Seattle, I didn't necessarily have big-time playmakers to throw the football to. And as Russell Wilson is aging into his 30s, I think DK Metcalf over the next 5 years can become the clear best wide receiver in the NFL. And if you have a player that's that good on one side of the field, then it means that you are able to find other wide receivers because of so much double coverage on DK Metcalf. As talented as Russell Wilson is, there are going to be a lot of playmaking opportunities on the other side of the field for someone who doesn't have to be anywhere near as talented as DK Metcalf. I look at that objectively from a distance and I say, they will figure out a way to work this out. You combine that with the fact that Pete Carroll already cleared the deck for Russell Wilson and said, this is our guy. We aren't going to change anything about dominating on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not going to let Michael Bennett, I'm not going to let Richard Sherman, I'm not going to let those guys in the Legion of Boom be the leaders of this team. The future of this franchise is Russell Wilson. He is our team leader. That is who we are going to follow into gridiron battle. And somehow, Pete Carroll, who is the ultimate players coach, and Russell Wilson, who feels like the ultimate CEO, have ended up at loggerheads with each other over who's going to be setting the direction for the franchise. And wildly, it appears that the Seahawks are going to pick a coach over the player. And I understand picking the coach over the player if it's any other position than quarterback in the NFL. Coaches win championships in college football. In the NFL, quarterbacks win championships. So if I am the owner and I have to choose, and all things are equal, between a player in Russell Wilson or a coach in Pete Carroll, and there is a power struggle there, I am going to pick the player. I'm going to pick Russell Wilson. I'm going to pick the quarterback. It appears, based on the trajectory of this story, that Russell Wilson may have played his last game in Seattle. If that is truly the case, there are so many teams out there that I think need to make a run for Russell Wilson. and I will name several of them for you right now, that I would argue could be teams that are talented enough to go from mediocre to Super Bowl caliber. Snap your fingers, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's just like Brady going down to Tampa Bay. So let me give you a few of these teams. I think the Washington football team, it's a no-brainer. I think if the Washington football team could get Russell Wilson in as their quarterback, with that defense that they have and the leadership of Ron Rivera, I think that the WFT would be the new favorite to win the NFC East. I love that move. I think the Carolina Panthers, if they could go get Russell Wilson, pair him with Christian McCaffrey, the dynamic offensive game plans of Matt Rhule, they would have a lot of success, I believe, in that offense going forward. DJ Moore has been close to taking the next step as a wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, started to make a lot of big plays without having necessarily a dynamic quarterback, and he has already started to show real flashes of brilliance. Went over 1,000 yards receiving in 2020, went over 1,000 yards receiving in 2019. With a guy like Russell Wilson, he could really get rolling. I think that would be a fantastic move. Chicago Bears, you know you have a good defense. You haven't had a reliable quarterback with Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles going back and forth. I think the Bears with Russell Wilson makes an awful lot of sense. Those are, to me, the three teams in particular which could flip the script and get really good in a hurry. Also, depending on what happens with Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, I think the idea of Russell Wilson in New Orleans could make sense. And I said this the other day, if I had to choose right now between having Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson going forward with the trio of wide receivers I have, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper, I would rather have Russell Wilson than Dak Prescott. So I think the Dallas Cowboys could find themselves potentially in the mix there. Here's a really interesting question. I don't even know if anybody else has asked this, and I'll talk about it to start off the third hour of the program. Is it possible? Russell Wilson has a no-trade clause. We know that. He gets to choose where exactly he goes. But is it possible you could find a situation where maybe, who knows, you could move him to Miami? That's a really talented Dolphins team. Would there be any interest from Pete Carroll in Tua and also the number three overall pick for Russell Wilson? I think that's a really intriguing question. There's been a lot of talk about Deshaun Watson to Miami. What about Russell Wilson to the Dolphins? We'll talk about all that in a little bit more, maybe give you some potential trades at the start of the third hour of the program. But right now, we're about to bring in Bobby Barak, one of my writers at OutKick, and to talk about a lot of the big stories. How about Skip Bayless? $32 million. Congratulations to Skip. This is OutKick. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us on Fox Sports Radio.
This is OutKick, the coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Lots of different news out there in the world of media as it pertains to where the NFL games are going to air, and also a new record potentially for sports media salaries set by Skip Bayless. We bring in OutKick's media writer, among many other things, Bobby Barak, who does fantastic work for the site. And Bobby, I want to start with the NFL television rights. And there are reports, it appears, that basically everything is going to stay the same except that Amazon might buy Thursday Night Football and pay a substantial premium to do so, putting it in the Amazon Prime universe and putting that obviously as a streaming option for all the NFL fans out there. Anything surprising you so far about the reports of the NFL television rights?
Yeah, so pretty straightforward so far. This is pretty much what people around the industry have been anticipating really since fall. This is the direction that everything has been heading in. The biggest takeaway is, like you said, the Amazon getting a Thursday Night Football package, because for the most part, the NFL is going to like make a lot of money off this. You know, people are going to get some good stories out of it, but the average football fan probably doesn't really care, because they're still going to be able to watch the NFC on Fox, AFC on CBS, and Sunday Night Football on NBC. And yeah, ABC is getting a Super Bowl, but the country's not going to have a hard time turning the dial down one or two buttons. But Amazon, that's going to be different, because people are used to watching, at least the past few years, watching these Thursday Night Football games on Fox. And the NFL has done a really good job of giving Fox really good games on Thursday nights, a lot of marquee games, especially early on in the season, like around week four, week five. They're some of the best game matchups of the week. So now they're going to Amazon. I think it's going to take a while for people to get adjusted to that.
Now, I agree.
The indication from like the Wall Street Journal is that a lot of these games are going to be exclusively on Amazon. And why I emphasize the word exclusively is because while the NFL Network was sharing with Fox, they're likely not going to do that for a lot of these Thursday games. It's not going to be simulcast on linear TV. Only the local markets will get it. I think a lot of people are going to miss out on these games because, one, they don't know how to do it.
Yep.
Two, they don't want to pay $100 for Amazon Prime. Or three, just a new habit. And habits take years to adjust from. I think the NFL is going to see a little downtick of interest in those Thursday night games. I'm curious how they come out. I think they can do some cool features. You know, I heard potentially they'll do some betting on there, like one click and you could bet on this game. But I think for the NFL, they're going to be underwhelmed with the reaction early on.
You know, it's interesting because the NFL so far, in all of their television rights package, has said, we want as much money as possible, but we also want the largest possible audience. And some people, I don't think, necessarily contemplate that. But effectively, when you've got NBC, ABC, ESPN, Fox, and CBS all putting your product on, it's basically an advertisement for the league. And that was a big part of the decision that the SEC made in college football years and years ago. They said, hey, we want our game of the week on CBS because we want it widely distributed to be an advertisement effectively for our overall brand. So the amount of money you make for it is significant, but also the brand value that you create by sort of imprinting in people's mind that you are a premium product. And if the NFL is going to put their Thursday night football game onto Amazon, effectively they're taking money over distribution, because I think you're right. I don't consider myself to be an old guy yet, but I definitely sit down sometimes to try to watch shows, and I get frustrated because I can't remember what our Disney Plus password is,
right,
or what our Hulu password is, or how to get into Netflix or Amazon or whatever it is, or even which network has that. And for a long time, you know, I have the Comcast Xfinity remote at home. You know, I can just hit the voice thing and be like, hey, put on, you know, whatever game I want to watch, right? If I want to watch, let's say, the Houston Rockets the other night when they're playing against Brooklyn and James Harden's jersey's getting retired, I want to watch 2 minutes of that. I don't have to worry about what station it's on. I just have to say it. And I think there are a lot of people out there that would struggle to be able to find Thursday Night Football on Amazon who would otherwise certainly watch it if it were on quote-unquote traditional television.
Yeah, and you know, even though things are progressing towards that model, it's almost bad timing, because I was just reading experts talking today, because CBS just launched Paramount Plus today.
Yep.
People are cutting the cord, but now they're having to decide which OTTs to subscribe.
That's right.
Whether it be Disney, Amazon Prime, HBO Max, Peacock, Paramount Plus, Discovery Plus, Apple TV Plus. There's so many. People are not going to subscribe to all of them, even if they do cut the cord. So I think it's going to be a lot of people that, you know, just be based on that, are not going to have Amazon Prime. It might be Netflix, HBO Max, Disney Plus. They might not have Amazon Prime. And I think the NFL is going to find out quickly that they're just not going to be able to reach as many homes as they hope to with this. And Clay, what happens with bars and stuff? I mean, presumably bars, when they reopen across the country, can show these games in Amazon Prime. But I don't know how that works. I mean, a lot of times you can't share account. Like, are they going to have to subscribe multiple times to fill out a Buffalo Wild Wings or Thursday Night Football game? I mean, that's concerns that I have. And listen, they'll probably get all that figured out, but it might not come day one and year one. It's going to be a rocky start.
Not only that, and I'm sure you have noticed this, and I bet a lot of our listeners have who have signed up for streaming services in some ways, sports is often very delayed. By which I mean, you know, let's say I'm watching something on the ESPN app as opposed to the ESPN primary television network. I have put, you know, like a iPad side by side with my television, and there's sometimes like a minute delay, which, as you mentioned, if the goal is to live gamble, you can't live gamble a minute behind. Heck, you can't even use social media or even be texting with your buddies because there's often a touchdown that happens and one of your friends might say, wow, what a play, and you're still a minute behind and you haven't even been able to see it yet.
I mean, I experienced that talking, not this past Super Bowl, but the one before, the Chiefs versus 49ers. I was watching the game on linear TV, and he was watching it, I don't know, on some, he was using someone's password for, like, streaming on whatever it was, Fox or CBS. And I remember that big play, they called the Wasp play, where Mahomes threw that big pass to Tyreek Hill. And yep. I texted him and said, okay, wow, now the game shifted. He's like, what are you talking about? He was, I believe, a minute and 20 seconds behind. And that play blew up everywhere. If he was following on Twitter, that would have been the biggest spoiler ever.
Yeah, and again, you can't bet, live bet, which is, I think, going to become more and more of a component of the sports landscape as more and more states allow you to live bet. You have to be watching at least close to live action, and a lot of people don't realize this, but you're about 30 seconds behind in general already with a game taking place on the field versus when it's actually being shown to you in your house. And so that 30 seconds is often not as massive of a deal there, but you add another 30 seconds or another minute, and you're talking about just a seismic difference. And so that those latency issues, I think, are something that needs to be resolved in a big way in order for people to be able to get back to some form of normalcy. Speaking of normalcy, the Atlanta Braves, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, we had already talked about it this week, have said that they expect to play 100% capacity All-Star game on July 13th in Atlanta. When do you think we will have the first sporting event with 100% capacity in this country? If you had to pick a date over and under, where do you think that day should be? What month should it be?
So I think it's going to go state by state.
Yeah, right. Somebody's going to do it first, obviously.
Right. I mean, I'm going to go baseball early on. I mean, I'll say sometime in April. I'm going to be optimistic that some state's going to have full capacity. I'll go May, just to be conservative there. I'll say May, there's going to be a game with full capacity in baseball. Yeah. But as far as the whole league, I don't know that's going to happen this season. I'm hopeful, but I don't know.
It's interesting. We talked a couple of days ago, and I still have my notes here. The Tampa Bay Rays last year averaged 14,700, or 2019, averaged 14,734. The Miami Marlins averaged 10,016. I feel like the state of Florida may well say you can sell as many tickets as you want for a Rays or a Marlins game, knowing that they're not going to get that massive of an audience, but then being able to sell the idea of, hey, we gave people the option if they want to be able to come to a game. I think it'll be something like the All-Star game, which early this week, listeners will know, I said I thought the over-under would be July 13th at the All-Star game. I do think that they will want in Major League Baseball to send the message basically halfway through the season, we're back. And that will be a major litmus test going forward, because I think there's a good chance second half of the season, Major League Baseball, many of these stadiums are close to full capacity. We're talking to Bobby Barak. You can read his work on OutKick every single day, pretty much. He does fantastic work there. Another big story that's out there in the world of sports media, How about Skip Bayless getting $8 million a year, a $32 million deal over the next 4 years? Did it surprise you?
Not really. The number's a little higher than what I expected, but not a lot. You know, I'd heard, I covered that story. There was a lot of talk about it last year about this time, really before the pandemic hit. You know, ESPN was all in. They were going to make an aggressive pitch. I'd heard that, you know, it could get above $7 million. So $8 million's a little surprising, but it makes sense. You know how those bidding wars get. ESPN and Fox both want him. And, you know, I wrote about this story, not this particular story, but about his salary a couple days ago, referring to his last deal, which is about $6.5 million a year with signing bonuses. And the feedback I got is like, why pay somebody that much money for TV? It's not like he's drawing millions of viewers. But I don't think people totally understand why he got that. These bidding wars is why he did, because in 2016, right after Colin Cowherd left ESPN for Fox, they were building FS1 up as a network, and Jamie Hoyer, the then president, he saw Skip the difference maker, bring him over, it builds that batting order. And ESPN was making so many offers, getting up higher and higher, that Fox said, okay, you know, we'll go up to $6.5 million to get him. And that was not them sitting back saying, we want to pay him that. That's what the market demanded for him. And this time around, building off that, he got up to $8 million. And, you know, like Skip, don't like him, you know, whatever your preference is on his content, he moves the needle quite as much as anybody on sports TV. I've said for years now, I don't think there's anybody else that FS1 could put in that spot that would draw those numbers outside of maybe Stephen A. I mean, Skip is one of the few needle movers in sports media on linear TV. There's a lot of people that do it online, but linear TV, he's one of the few. And the other thing is, he's done so much for FS1, Fox Sports digital brand. His YouTube clips often eclipse, you know, really high numbers, 300,000, 400,000. So in their minds, and they have the data to back it up, he's worth that amount. A lot of people don't agree with it, but the bosses and rival bosses, they believe that is his market value.
What do you think? You were talking about market value and everything else, and I don't – congratulations, Skip Bayless, anybody else who is willing and able to get that money. It's not like a corporation gives you that money intending to lose money, right? And I think a lot of times this kind of goes down to – people tend to root for business over individual, and that happens for player contracts too.
Yeah.
The money is there if the business is profitable. The question is whether or not the business believes that the guy is worth it, or the girl, whoever it is. And clearly Fox is giving Skip Bayless that money because they believe that they are going to get a return on that investment in some way.
Right.
And that's why he's getting paid. It's not like it's just these are, you know, nonprofit businesses that are throwing money away. It is kind of crazy to see Skip Bayless and recognize that he would be like the fifth or sixth highest paid college coach in America, right? I mean, that's where the context really kind of gets fascinating. Or the fifth highest paid running back in the NFL. That, I think, is interesting when you put it in the context of larger scale sports salaries, where you start to get a sense for what sports media are worth. But I always say, look, if it's Stephen A., if it's Colin Cowherd, if it's Skip Bayless, whoever it is, I root for those guys to get paid, just like an NFL player would be rooting for everybody else at his position to get paid, because a rising tide really does lift all boats. If you are Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes goes out and gets $40 million plus a year, you may not get that number, but you might get closer to it than you would have if Patrick Mahomes hadn't gone out and maximized his overall value.
Yeah, and the industry really, as far as top-level salary, shifted in 2015 when ESPN got that rival FS1 as a competing bidder, because at that point, Stephen A. had signed a contract not too much earlier for about $3.5 million a year, and at that point, you know, that was massive money for an individual sports media personality. I think like Mike and Mike are around that range, maybe around $4 million. But then when Cowherd got his contract, this is his first contract, he got significantly more. That report said as much as, you know, $6-7 million a year. Then Skip followed and got $6.5 million. Then Mike Greenberg followed and got $6.5 million. And under them, it trickled down to Michelle Beadle getting $5 million, Jalen Rose $3.5 million, Dan Lepetar $3.5 million. So that's how it works. You compare them to NFL players. I'm not saying these guys are worth that amount, but the market says, compared to what other people in the business are making, because what happened in 2015, that is where Skip falls right now.
So I was reading an article. Moffitt Nathanson had a really intriguing media analysis that they do for their stock subscribers and their the stock analysts and everything else. And they were projecting how many people would still have cable and satellite subscriptions in 2025. And I believe their number was 51 million. And it wasn't that long ago that over 100 million people had cable and satellite subscriptions. And what is holding many people to the cable and satellite bundle right now is news, which obviously Donald Trump was a big part of, and also is sports. Where do you see this overall marketplace going with news and sports basically being the only reason that many people would need a cable bundle, right? I understand what I said earlier about it being kind of annoying and difficult to try to find out how to sign into all the different apps. But for example, if you're a big fan of children's programming because you got kids in your household, it's easier for you to go on Disney Plus and find something for them to watch than probably for many people have to scroll through and look at five or six different channels, especially if they have a particular show, as most kids do, that they really like, or a particular program that they want to watch. Disney Plus is designed to put exactly what they want exactly in front of them at the time that they want it, whereas cable and satellite, not necessarily. And I know there's on-demand functions and people can talk about that. But it definitely feels like news and sports is the only reason that many people are keeping their cable and satellite bundles. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no question. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this and writing about this. I think all eyes are on cable news over the next 4 years. It's been a lot made of early ratings post Donald Trump. They're kind of coming back to normal, but they were setting records the past 4 years. All three cable news networks, we reported, said, okay, are getting into the OTT lane. Fox News just recently announced that Tucker Carlson is getting not one, but two shows on their OTT, Fox Nation. MSNBC, they have the Peacock News Hub that's using a lot of the Morning Joe and Chuck Todd. He has a weekly show on there. And CNN at some point, presumably, will start putting stuff on HBO Max because they're on the same parent company. We'll see how that works out. I'm a little more optimistic on the future of those three channels and other people, because like, it's going to be hard to convince a lot of households, not the younger household, but remember, cable news has a different target demo. There's just 25 to 54. Most places are 18 to like 47 or something. It's going to take longer than people think, because what do those three channels do so well? Their background noise. People leave them on all day long, whatever they're doing. And OTT isn't really going to be able to replace that. And I think there's going to be a lot of households that are not going to be willing to just get rid of that right away and move over to, say, you know, putting Peacock on the background where it doesn't just go to a channel. It doesn't go from show to show. After a show ends, you got to click on a new show. Same for Netflix and all of that. It's not a continuation over the course of a day. So that number is going down. I expect it to go down. But at some point, I think we're going to hit a point where everybody that is leaving cable has already left. I don't think it's just going away over the next 4 years. At some point, maybe we'll get there, but I'm going to hold out hope that they're going. And the NFL just signed, you know, long-term TV deals with ESPN, NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox. So, and depending on how long those deals are, I think we're going to get another 4, 5, 6 years out of the people still holding on their cable packages. A smaller number, yes, but I don't think they're just going to abandon it like some predict.
We're talking to Bobby Brack, writes about media, sports, many different subjects at Outkick. You can go read him at Outkick.com pretty much every day. We've got the NCAA tournament about to start in, 2 weeks, basically, right?
Yeah.
We have next week of the big conference tournaments. Those were all canceled last year by and large. We've seen a lot of sports ratings down substantially. We didn't have the NCAA tournament for a year. What do you think the overall interest in college basketball will look like this year as it compares to a couple of years ago?
Oh, I'm expecting a substantial decline, because everything is down quite a bit. I mean, I think the NFL considers it a win that they were down like just over double digit, 10-12%. The Golden Globes were down,
62%. Yeah, the Golden Globes, it's unbelievable. Well, it's like they didn't even exist. Now, I will say, and I was going to ask you about the Globes, I do think partly that's because I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see a movie, right? Like, other than Soul on Pixar, the Pixar movie, Trolls, like what I could grab to watch with my kids that was released directly. I guess I went and saw Wonder Woman, but I didn't know any of the movies that were nominated as a part of the Golden Globes. And so I think that's a major blow.
Well, you're right to some degree, but see, I kind of look at it the other way because a lot of the TV shows that were nominated were stuff that were released during the pandemic.
That were really popular. Yeah.
Right. Had record hours of people watching. Everybody was stuck home, couldn't go to work, couldn't go out. So I was surprised that there wasn't more interest because more Americans watched those TV shows than they would have otherwise if it wasn't a pandemic. So, yeah, I mean, everything's down. So I would expect NCAA to be down. There hasn't been a ton of hype about it. There's not a ton of hype about really anything in sports right now outside of maybe like the Russell Wilson. So I think the NFL transactional stuff really dominating that discussion. I could see it being down. It's on schedule. I think 20% is reasonable, Clay.
Yeah.
If not,
could be very much true. Bobby, I appreciate the time, my man. We will talk to you again soon.
All right, Clay. Appreciate it.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. I hope you're having a fantastic Friday so far. I hope you might have a really exciting weekend, and a really exciting weekend might include seeing a UFO. Baker Mayfield hopped on Twitter, and last night he said almost 100% M and I, meaning his girlfriend, his wife, and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis, which is out in Austin. Anybody else witness this? So Baker Mayfield saying that he saw a UFO. And you know what? I mean, I understand some people out there are going to be like, I don't believe in UFOs. I don't believe in ghosts. I'm a UFO and a ghost guy. I believe in both. I have seen a ghost before in Traverse City, Michigan. I've told that story. I save it every year for the Halloween Outkick. I'm not going to tell that story now because it's not the Halloween Outkick. You'll have to wait until October 31st or thereabouts. I don't know what day Halloween's going to be on in 2021. I haven't looked yet. But I have seen a ghost. I believe 100% that ghosts are real. I also believe in UFOs. And used to be if you said you believed in UFOs, people thought you were crazy. One of the wildest parts of 2020 had nothing to do with COVID or the election or everything getting shut down, the lockdown, sports not existing for several months. No. It was that the government released videos and basically acknowledged that UFOs were real. Now, we don't know what the UFOs were, how they came to be, what was causing them to exist, but it wasn't even front page news. The government came out and they said, hey, oh yeah, UFOs are real. Here's video that we took from our fighter pilots off the coast of California featuring unidentified flying objects that we can't identify in any way. And so many people just shrugged their shoulders. Now, do I think it's very likely that a starting quarterback in the NFL would be one of the witnesses of a UFO? Seems unlikely a little bit to me, right? Seems unlikely that there are 325 million people or whatever there are in the United States. It seems a bit unlikely to me that Baker Mayfield, one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, would be one of the guys to see a UFO. Like, the percentages just don't seem that great. But then again, some of you out there can be like, what are the odds that Clay Travis would see a ghost if ghosts are real? I understand that argument too. I don't know if Baker and his wife had been drinking. It does seem that ghosts and also UFOs are more likely to be seen if you've been consuming alcohol. Your mind plays a little bit more tricks on you. I might see a UFO and a ghost both this weekend because I'm going on a camping trip. Not that excited about the camping trip, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not the kind of person who likes to sleep outside. I think we have evolved as humans to build houses and to build condos and to build apartments, ceilings, roofs, walls. All of these things are incredible inventions. Why would I choose to sleep outside when there's plenty of good places to sleep inside? General position. But when you are a dad, you end up doing many things that you might not otherwise do. And so I am camping on Saturday night. I have been aggressively looking at the forecast to see how cold it's going to be. And it's not going to be that warm. In fact, as I look right now, it's going to be 30 degrees for a low. That seems cold to me to camp. Not going to lie. I'm going to have all three of my boys. It's a school camping trip. So my oldest son is in a school here in Nashville where I live. And the school is doing a group camping trip. And if you have younger children, you can bring them with you. So my wife was like, yeah, you should take all three of the kids. And then she and her girlfriends are all going out for a fancy night dinner. And they're going to have a great time. And I'm going to be sleeping, freezing to death, in a sleeping bag. Dub, when's the last time that you camped?
I don't know if I've ever really camped like in a traditional sense. I'm trying to think if I have.
When you say you haven't camped in a traditional sense, does that mean you've passed out drunk? Like, I don't understand what a non-traditional sense camping would be.
I've slept outside.
When have you slept outside?
Oh, God. Number of times in college.
Just because you were drunk and you were just like...
On the front porch, just passing out. On the couch.
I don't think front porch...
We had an old couch outside on the front porch. Many a night spent there.
Okay, but I don't think that really counts as camping out.
No, it does not.
So I'm saying, like, have you ever slept outdoors intentionally?
I don't think I have. I'm with you, man. I'd much prefer a bed, personally. I'm not into ants and bugs and all that kind of stuff, so I'm kind of an indoors sleeper kind of guy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when I was in college... So I went to college in Washington, D.C., which is a city school. I mean, most people have been to D.C. You don't go to D.C. and think it's suburban or anything like that. It's not really the kind of place you would think that you would camp. But I do remember multiple times when friends ended up sleeping in parks, like on the walk. Because there was no – back in the day, the subway in Washington, D.C. would stop running at midnight. So for people who remember the metro system in Washington, D.C., it used to stop at midnight. And like sometimes as you were a kid, none of us had cars, I should say. So when you go to school at a city school, like nobody had a car. And so you would either take a cab, and Washington, D.C. had like the most difficult cab system imaginable. They used to have a map, a zone, right? So you would travel from one zone to another. Instead of a meter, it was like you would get on one place and then you would get off another place, and they would charge you based on how many zones you went across. And so it was always a scramble to get home after the bars closed. Most people didn't really, there wasn't Uber, obviously there wasn't Lyft. Cabs weren't as common, and the subway would shut down. And a couple of times I remember people getting drunk and actually not intentionally, but just like bums, laying down in parks and spending the night there. And then like you would get up the next morning, realize somebody wasn't around, and you might go outside and find them sleeping in the park. That wasn't really camping out. I am camping out. I'm told that the clock is about to run out here. When we come back at the top of the third hour, I'll ask whether or not Dub believes that Baker Mayfield actually saw a UFO. We'll also talk about Ben Roethlisberger, his deal. What does it mean for the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of their ability to get under the salary cap and also contend one more time for the AFC North and potentially for a Super Bowl as well? All that's still coming your way. Also, Todd Furman, my co-host on Fox Bet Live, scheduled to join us. All that still to come. This is Outkick. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.